May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the law will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. Hymn 113.
Oh, Let us read together from the sacred scriptures, the word of God, from the second book of Samuel, chapter 15. The second book of Samuel, reading chapter 15. Samuel chapter 15. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said moreover, Over I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so, that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, If the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, Go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counsellor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of a sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women which were concubines to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after the king from Gath passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou, and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee." And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God. And Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, "Carry back the ark of God into the city, if I shall find favour in the eyes of the Lord. He will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have no delight in thee,' behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." The king said also unto Zadok the priest, "Art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me." Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him, with his coat rent, and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, "If thou passest on with me, thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, 'I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant,' then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them ye can send unto me everything that ye can hear." So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us as we come before him now in prayer. Most holy, almighty, merciful, gracious God, teach us now to pray. Grant to us each our true spiritual worship tonight, as we turn away from the things of this world into these thine earthly courts, to come to worship thee here, to seek thy gracious presence here. Lord, remember us, we pray, and draw us unto thyself, and draw nigh even unto us, as we are favoured once more to be found gathered together in thine earthly courts in thy name. So we should be truly thankful for that measure of health and strength granted, and for journeying mercies to bring us safely here. And now are we all here present before God. O Lord, may it be that we have come in need. May it be that we have prayed our way here, that we have come seeking Jesus, to be found at his feet, to receive of his word, to hear what God the Lord will speak. Lord, grant us that hearing ear, that wise and understanding heart, the hearing of faith, the obedience of faith, and may something be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Leave us not just to come and go, satisfied with duty, satisfied with a form of worship, satisfied with mere attendance on a weeknight. Oh, but Lord, if any have come in that way, if any have come unconcerned, indifferent, prayerless, in need of nothing, touch our hearts tonight. In thy mercy, Lord, begin that work of grace. Begin to show them themselves. Begin to teach them the truth. Begin to pluck them as brands from the burning. Oh, begin to empty them of the things of this world. Begin to fill them of thy Holy Spirit. Unspeakably solemn to have a name to live and yet to be dead, to be likened to the foolish virgins, having no grace, one thing thou lackest. Oh, to have no real concern of our never dying soul, as we are each found on the brink of eternity. O Lord, have mercy upon such, and where thy Spirit has begun, do continue and deepen. And O Lord, in showing such themselves, and what a sight, a guilty sinner, a heart deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked, the plague of our hearts, every evil found therein. What defileth a man but that which cometh out of his heart, and evil thoughts, and such great evils proceed out of our hearts, sinful thoughts, as well as sinful words and sins of deed, of commission and of omission? And are we not guilty of those sins against light and knowledge? A guilty sinner before an holy God. Oh, such a one in great need of mercy, pardon, forgiveness. Oh, may thy Spirit continue, beginning to show that poor sinner the Lord Jesus, the Saviour, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Propitiation, the Great High Priest, the Advocate with the Father, the one who alone can save us from our sins, none but Jesus, none other name given us under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. And if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Remember such who have that sweet hope of thy great salvation. Lord, those who with humble hope can say, my beloved is mine and I am his. My Lord, my God, my Saviour, my friend, my shepherd, my helper, my King, my all in all. And yet, Lord, even such know times of doubts and fears, times of darkness, times we question, oh, did Jesus once upon me shine? Have I truly been born again? Is my religion real? Is it of God? Those who greatly fear that they've only learnt it in the head. Oh, those who greatly fear being deceived and deceiving others. And yet such would come to the light. Oh, coming to the light, that it might be made manifest that that work is wrought of God, all of grace. We do pray for any here tonight in darkness and hath no light. Those overwhelmed with doubts and fears. Many, many cries, but they feel no answers. We feel, Lord, for any desperate to have their prayers answered, a clear answer. I cry and I shout, but all my prayer, it seems, he shutteth out. Those struggling, either spiritually, providentially, oh, how they long, Lord, answer me. Lord, answer me. I need an answer. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Oh, would it please thee, Lord, in manifesting thy faithfulness, to answer. As the psalmist also cried, in thy faithfulness answer me. And oh Lord, what a great encouragement, what a sweet confirmation when we receive those answers of peace. And we do feel to be so unworthy, so undeserving, indeed tempted at times not to pray. Lord, any here tempted no more on thee to call. Oh, may they prove that mightier power within of thy Holy Spirit, yet prompting them to pray, though that prayer be a groan, a sigh, oh, a cry. Lord, remember such. Remember any on the borders of despair, who feel it's all over with them. Oh Lord, who feel to be in such a dark and trying place, forsaken, forgotten, abandoned. Oh Lord, may they yet prove thee to be near.
and reveal thyself and deliver such. Or deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. We pray also for any in their pathway, and things are so mysterious and so hard and crooked and trying, and wonders where the scene will end. Oh, do grant much grace, more grace, great grace to trust in thee, though we cannot trace thee. Oh Lord, do grant that grace in casting all our care upon thee, and to be still and know that thou art God. Remember any sorely tempted by Satan, and all those temptations are very real, very powerful. Oh, grant that grace to resist, the shield of faith. Remember any sorely tried. Oh, may they prove, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Remember each and every one in all their various needs. Attend to every case, supply every need, and bless each soul. And may there be a portion for seven, and also for eight. Lord, that eighth soul who feels so different, that eighth soul who, like Ruth, feels, though I be not like unto thy handmaidens, thy people, and yet to be blessed with that same religion of Ruth. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. O Lord, and may they be brought to know of that spiritual heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus, to thee their beloved husband and bridegroom. We pray for those unable to be here tonight, detained, either through affliction, weakness, infirmity, those at home with little ones, those in employment, those who may be away at this time. Lord, remember such. Remember any who could have come but had no desire to come. And Lord, bless this church and people, and grant them to prove here that thy Spirit remaineth. And grant those evidences of thy Spirit's work in the hearts and lives of such who attend here. Help thy servants who minister from time to time, and bless the preaching of the gospel. Help the deacons in office, and grant to them much grace and wisdom. Bless each church member. And, O Lord, be pleased to add unto them such as shall be saved, even from this village and surrounding neighbourhoods. Call sinners by thy grace, for it is all of grace, all of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, let thy work appear both here, throughout Zion, in this sad day in which we live. Lord, return with mercies unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Remember thy people worldwide in all of their various needs and those who suffer much. Have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. Lord, in these solemn days in which we live, over wickedness, the evils, the violence, the abominations, the idols, the promotion of that which is wicked and evil and wrong, the denouncing of that which is good and right. Oh, there is a little remnant of praying souls. May we be found among them who sigh and cry over the abominations done in our land. And, oh Lord, bring the counsel of the heathen to naught. Overturn the desires of the ungodly. And, Lord, preserve us yet. Spare thy people. We have much to be thankful for. We would be thankful at this time of year, acknowledging thy goodness and faithfulness in another harvest, as the fruits, the crops, the vegetables are gathered in, and we would be thankful, so thankful. and for many, many other blessings and comforts and privileges that we have. Oh, for a truly thankful heart, that we might meet together around thy word, we would be thankful. Thankful for the word of thy grace, thankful for the throne of grace, thankful for the means of grace. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of grace. Now, Lord, send help. Bless us here tonight. Forgive our every sin. And after the service, take us each back to our homes in peace and safety with a blessing. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 1086. Peace, my complaining, doubting heart, ye busy cares be still. Adore the just, the sovereign Lord, nor murmur at his will. Hymn 1086.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the chapter that we read together, the second book of Samuel, chapter 15 and verse 15. And the king's servant said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 15. And the king's servant said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. As brief as I can, the context, and it's a very sad one. It was a very distressing day for David, king of Israel. For the second time in his life, he was fleeing. The first time he was fleeing from King Saul. King Saul, full of pride, envy, jealousy, as cruel as a grave, was seeking to kill David. He saw him as a threat. From that time when David, as God enabled him, slew Goliath, you remember the women in their dances were singing that Saul had killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s, ascribing more honour unto David. And King Saul would not have it. He saw him as a threat. And he literally tried to kill him. And David had to flee for his life. In one sense, David fled twice then, because he was fleeing for his life in Cave Adullam, in the woods and the mountainsides, and whithersoever King Saul pursued him, David had to flee. But the Lord always protected David. The Lord always delivered David. King Saul would never be allowed to touch David, though twice David had opportunity to touch and kill King Saul, but he would not touch the Lord's anointed. But then that very sad day when David was left to lean upon his own understanding, and I would say that he was most probably exhausted, he was most probably so wearied, he was most probably in that sense at the ends of the earth, at his wit's end corner, end of his tether, hardly knew how to carry on, and he came to that conclusion that one day Saul will kill me. Not that he ever had any word from God to that effect. But that's what he greatly feared. And yes, it appeared to be a real, genuine fear. Although the Lord had always protected him and defended him. But David came to this. There is nothing better for me than to go to the Philistines. David, what are you at? What are you saying? There is nothing better for you than to go to the enemies. Is it not better to put your whole trust in God? Is it not better to still rely upon the goodness of God, the protection of God? David was left to himself. It's a solemn thing when a child of God is left to himself, herself, even for a moment. David was left to himself when he saw Bathsheba bathing. Peter was left to himself when the maid questioned him, Are thou not one of them? And we have others also in Scripture when they're left to themselves. And a child of God left to themselves will bring themselves into great trouble and great sorrow. And so did David. Left to himself, he fled. He was fleeing from King Saul, but he fled. He fled Israel. He went to the Philistines. He sought protection in them. And for a time it seemed to work. There was Ziklag given to him. But on that day when David returned, the Ziklag had been burned with fire and all the children, wives taken away. Oh, what a sad day that was for David. But as when the Lord began to turn his captivity, when he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Mark those words. You can see it perhaps in connection with our text. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Ah, he'd been negligent, he'd been unmindful, but now again in humility and faith, he turns to the Lord and the Lord is there. And David recovered all. And it wasn't long before that when King Saul and Jonathan were slain in battle and David was anointed king in Hebron. And there he continued 7 years later becoming king in Jerusalem, the royal city, the great city, the children of Israel, where the Ark of the Covenant was also brought up. But then this very sad time when his son Absalom, his third son, now sought the throne for himself and sought to overthrow his father David. And there was that conspiracy. He was a liar. He was a thief. He stole the hearts and the minds. He lied to them also. He even lied to his father. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. You cannot serve the Lord lying. You cannot serve the Lord in a conspiracy. You cannot serve the Lord in trying to pervert the court of justice in that sense. He never sought to serve the Lord. He wanted to serve the flesh, serve himself. He wanted that position for himself. He wanted to be a great king. And for a time again, it seemed to work. So David, hearing of Absalom coming and the many people who had turned to him, David flees Jerusalem. And although he flees Jerusalem with those faithful who were with him, he still puts his whole trust in the Lord, his God. If I shall find favour in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it, the Ark of the Covenant, and his habitation, but if he save us, I have no delight in thee. Behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Now, what does this say of David, the king of Israel? He was a servant of God. He served God. Indeed, from his youth, he served God. He was a true servant of God. He put his whole trust into the Lord, his God. He sought by the grace given to him to do that which was right in the sight of God. He was his servant, his servant. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. We leave David, Absalom, in the context here. We see David's greatest son, David's Lord, David's King, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Zion. We see also his servants, those who serve him, those who bow before him, those who seek to know and to do his will, those who would be found in his kingdom, the kingdom of his grace. Those, not so much a language of their tongues, because Solomon said he would serve the Lord. The Lord Jesus also warned those, he called me Lord, Lord, but do not the things which I say. But this is the language of their hearts, that new heart the Lord gives, that new man of grace. Thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. What I see here, perhaps an encouragement to one or another, I see that work of grace. I see a soul with grace in their heart. Those who are made willing, because the natural man, the man of sin, that heart full of sin says concerning the Lord Jesus, indeed, Almighty God, we will not have his man to reign over us. We will please ourselves. We will go our own way. We will do what we want to do. But we will not have this man to reign over us. A very solemn thought comes to my mind. If we're not the servants of the Lord Jesus, the servants of God, then we must be the servants of sin, the servants of Satan. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, really they obeyed Satan. They disobeyed God. You cannot serve God and mammon. Of course, a child of God has a great struggle with the old man of sin and the new man of grace. There's a warfare. A warfare within. Romans 7. The dear apostle, the good that I would do, that I do not. The evil that I would do, would not do, that it is that I do. O wretched man that I am. He felt much a plague of his old heart. Oh, he knew yet that he was a great sinner. But did he not serve the Lord? Oh, did he not serve the Lord? Indeed, from his conversion, when he was taught to pray, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I was rather struck by the text over the hymn that you had just been singing. Thy will be done. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Whatsoever. Now, I refer to him as the Apostle Paul. At that time, when he prayed that, the Lord had in mind what he would appoint him. And after 3 days to Ananias, it was told to Ananias what the Lord would appoint for him. For I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And the Apostle Paul, he suffered much as he lived his life here upon this earth as a servant of God. Indeed, it was because he was a servant of God and served God and obeyed God that he suffered so much. Opposition, persecution, tribulations. Oh, he suffered so much by the enemies of the truth. He suffered so much by Satan. He suffered much by false brethren, those who got in unawares, those who said they would serve the Lord, but they never did. They never intended to. Those deceivers, those false prophets, false teachers, who were such a great trouble to the apostles. But he served the Lord. I and my house shall serve the Lord. Now, when grace is given, I feel it must be where grace is given. To fall down before the Lord, to fall down before him, to be ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. It is a great word. It doesn't happen instantaneously. At times it does, but not always. It's the Lord's dealings with his people, and my people shall be willing in the day of my power. Thinking of Peter, he must go forth to the Gentiles. And there on a rooftop in Joppa, he had that vision, trance. And that great sheet let down to him with all manner of unclean beasts. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. This was done 3 times, and then taken back up again. And then he was called, 3 men seek for thee, And as it was made known unto Peter concerning Cornelius and his household, so Peter could understand that vision, that he must also go unto the Gentiles. What God hath cleansed, call not thou common. And he must be ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. Whatever the Lord appoints for his people, he will also grant sufficient grace. I only need to mention again with Paul what he suffered that thorn in the flesh, and how he prayed that the Lord would take it away. He knew the Lord was able to take it away instantly, immediately. But the Lord didn't. But the Lord did answer him, my grace is sufficient for thee. There may be something before us. And being a servant of God, you make it a matter of prayer. You bring it before the Lord in prayer. And perhaps you want to know that the thing proceedeth from the Lord. Now that is so important. That it doesn't proceed from the flesh. It doesn't proceed from ambition. It doesn't proceed from our own covetous hearts. So often in what the Lord exercises his people with, there is in them at first an unwillingness. Perhaps a great fear. And they feel their insufficiency, their poverty, perhaps their ignorance. They feel such a step they cannot take, they cannot do. Many, many excuses are brought forth. You think of dear Moses. I rather feel that he was quite content to be a shepherd at the backside there of the desert, living quietly. I'm sure he also had a prayerful exercise concerning the children of Israel and what they were suffering. He was away from all of that. He was in relative peace and quiet comparison. Until 40 years in the burning bush and the voice of God. No two ways about it. It was the voice of God speaking to him. And he was instructed to go back to Egypt. The Lord had assured him that those who sought his life were now dead. He would be in no danger concerning that. But he was to be instrumental in bringing forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. A momentous thing. A great thing set before him. And Moses tried to bring forth every reason he could think of why he could not go. And every time he brought forth the reason, the Lord destroyed it. The Lord destroyed it. That was only an excuse, not a reason. So Moses then said, I am not eloquent, not gifted in speech. I cannot go. And the Lord replied, who made man's mouth and the dumb and the blind and so on? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. That was the word of God unto him. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And although Moses still was full of fear, weakness, trembling, but he must go. He must leave that quiet place. He must leave Jethro his father. He must leave those sheep. He must leave that particular life. And he was living there. He must go. He had the authority of the word of God. He knew that the thing proceeded from the Lord because the Lord had told him to go. But he went in great fear. Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. About 40 years later, and all that had transpired in those 40 years that Moses indeed had been instrumental in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through that waste howling wilderness, and the miracles which had been performed by the Lord, then Moses speaking to Joshua, his successor. I'm sure it was feelingly a man of experience, having experience of a good hand of the Lord. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And after the death of Moses, oh, how God then said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. Another word comes to mind. And again, this was spoken to Moses, I believe, at the burning bush. But really, it's a word spoken to all the people of God, all the servants of God, in whatsoever the Lord appoints, I think in the margin it's chooses for them. Whatever the Lord chooses, whatever the Lord appoints, certainly I will be with thee. What a word. What a promise. Yes, at times that promise is tried. But a precious promise spoken by God into whatever he may appoint for you, for me, in our pathway, whether it be public or more private, certainly I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, what a promise. Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. Acknowledging the Lord to be our King, to whom we serve, not only our King, but our priest and our prophet, our all in all. But here in the context of our text, the King, one whom we would serve. Servants are ye to whom ye obey. And our text speaks of obedience. And surely it becomes every child of God, every one of a King's servants, to be obedient. Be very careful, but was it not disobedience wherein King Saul was rejected? He disobeyed the word of the Lord. But then we also have that concerning Jonah. Jonah was disobedient, but Jonah was corrected. But what Jonah had to pass through, what he had to suffer, we can barely imagine. The storm would have been one thing, but then being cast into sea was another thing. And then being in the belly of a great fish 3 days and three nights was quite another thing. But the Lord spared him. The Lord spared him. Because thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And the Lord spared him. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Jonah, saying, arise, and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach a preaching which I bid thee. And Jonah arose and went. Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. May the Lord leave us not to disobedience. We are quite sure to bring the rod of correction down upon us. And what we may have to go through within that rod of correction, the Lord alone knows. One thing I feel sure of, that if Jonah knew what he would have to suffer and endure, and the horrors of that place, and that fear of death, and an angry God against whom he has so blatantly disobeyed, I'm sure Jonah would have gone the first time. Perhaps a word of warning to one here tonight. Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. Now it's what the Lord appoints. It's not what man appoints. It's not what we appoint. Surely left to ourselves, we would choose, we would appoint our own pathway. And surely it would be one of prosperity. It would be one of gain. It would be one of success. It would be a smooth pathway. There wouldn't be crooked things. There wouldn't be troublous things. There wouldn't be difficult things. But the Lord doesn't allow his people to choose a point in their own pathway. Indeed, he doesn't allow them to even choose what troubles they will have, what trials of their faith. But the Lord chooses everything for them. Dear Job, he would never choose to go through that great trial which the Lord brought him through. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him, and what his soul desireth, even that he doeth, for he performeth a thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And the child of God, there are things which the King shall appoint. And these things, he comes as their sovereign again, I think from that hymn, there was reference there to the Lord being sovereign. Yes, peace my complaining, doubting heart, ye busy cares, be still. Adore the just, the sovereign Lord, nor murmur at his will. And yet how often we do. How often we do. Perhaps when we have set before us what the Lord has appointed, the first thing we do is murmur. Manifesting rebellion, a complaining spirit, a reluctance. Oh, how prone some of us at least are to murmuring against the good hand of the Lord, because the Lord has appointed this, the Lord has appointed that. You remember the children of Israel when they murmured because of the hardness of the way, what the Lord had appointed. The Lord sent those fiery serpents who bit many, and many died. And they were brought to repentance. Indeed, they were brought to confession. And it was by looking unto Jesus that they were healed. Ah, what a word there in Hebrews 12. Thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, but looking unto Jesus, the race which the Lord has appointed, the way the Lord has appointed. When we consider the sovereignty of God, sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command, all things appointed by God. At times there is loss. At times there is bereavement. At times there is trouble. At times there is opposition. At times there is affliction, all appointed by God. When Satan is permitted to cause as much distress and sorrow and anguish, yet appointed by God. What the Lord allows, what the Lord permits. Remember, God is upon the throne, not Satan. God is in control, not Satan. And it's what the Lord appoints, that through much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is that narrow way which leadeth unto
life. Thy will be done. Also when Paul prayed, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I believe it's a prayer every exercised child of God also prays in a general sense. And perhaps it should be our daily prayer, beginning of the day, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? But also at times in a particular sense, when there's an exercise, when there's a burden, when there's a step, when there's a decision to be made. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What is thy will concerning this thing? Does it proceed from the Lord, or is it of the flesh? You see, sometimes the Lord, he sets open doors before his people. Sometimes it is a day of prosperity. David knew at times a day of prosperity. The Lord increased his kingdom and his riches. The Lord prospered him in many, many ways. And it is right as we live our lives to live honestly, to walk humbly before the Lord. And in our labours, to labour diligently to the best of our abilities and gifts that are given. But in serving the Lord. And may we remember that whatever our calling, whatever our position, our situation, we're serving the Lord. And at times there are conflicts in the world, and I fear these are going to become more and more, when we're going to need that grace to say no. That is, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord, because there is that conflict with the Word of God. And like Daniel and the three young men, they would not eat that which was offered to idols knowingly. And so they served the Lord with the water and pulse. And them that honoured me, I will honour. And so it was with them. In serving the Lord, we cannot serve self. We cannot serve the world where it does wrong. We certainly cannot serve Satan. We cannot serve that which is contrary to the word and ways of God. And at times we may have to make such a stand because we serve the Lord. Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. And like the apostle, there may be times when we may have to suffer. Is what the King shall appoint, for I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And we don't want to suffer. We'd rather avoid the sufferings. We'd rather avoid the troubles. We'd rather avoid the conflicts. But we're called to fight the good fight of faith. Oh, if the Lord has given us faith, that faith will be tried. And what grace we will need to fight the good fight of faith. And the Lord has given those weapons for our warfare. We need that shield of faith. We need that helmet of salvation. We need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And especially that weapon. In many ways, a hidden weapon, but perhaps the most powerful weapon that we have, and it's that weapon of prayer. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, and to continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. In that sense, the Lord has appointed the throne of grace. For these things I will be inquired of, O house of Israel, to do them unto you. As long as they live, should Christians pray, for only while they pray, they live. Oh, to be a praying soul, praying unto the King. Oh, praying for grace, praying for help, praying for strength, praying for wisdom, praying for ability, praying for submission, praying for resignation. Oh, praying for more grace. Oh, the benefits of the mercy seat, the blessings of prayer. But perhaps one says, I do pray, but the Lord doesn't answer me. Go again 7 times. It's that continuation in prayer. Behold, thy servants are ready to do, to go again 7 times. Whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. And again, so much of a pilgrimage, I believe, the Lord will have his people wait. Are we ready to wait? Or are we going to be impatient? Are we going to take matters into our own hands? I forget the name now. Was it Ahimaaz who ran to bring tidings of the death of Absalom to David but wasn't sent? And was it Hushai, forgive me if I got it wrong, who was sent and had those tidings and the former one was told to stand aside? He never did deliver his message. He wouldn't wait. Oh, we need at times much grace to wait, ready to do. And the Lord may say, wait not yet. There is something before you. There is a step, there is an opening, but not yet. In that sense, the Lord may be saying, you're not ready. You need further humbling. You need further teaching. You need further preparation. Like Moses, 40 years in the backsides of the desert, where I believe the Lord prepared him. Until the Lord sees that we are ready. And then I believe the Lord makes it very plain when that time comes. And then to go forth in that particular calling to serve him. Now, surely our eyes should ever be upon the Lord. And I'm just turning to that psalm. I think it's 117. Sorry, no, 123. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, in serving him. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And when the Lord answers that prayer, you and I will also need grace then to do whatsoever the Lord's will is. That grace of obedience. I feel burdened, I feel troubled. May there not be one here tonight tempted to be disobedient, thinking you'll get away with it. Thinking you'll escape the rod. Thinking you'll escape that correction. Dear soul, you will not. But may the Lord rather grant you that grace to be obedient. Seek to be obedient. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, consider him and the obedience of the Lord Jesus in coming down to this sin-cursed earth and serving his Father, obeying the law, laying down his life, shedding his blood to save his people from their sins. And so it becomes every child of God, every believer in the Lord Jesus also to be obedient. Obedient in serving the Lord. And this word just seems to stand out. It really covers us all, doesn't it? Whatsoever. Whatsoever. Just briefly, finally, you remember when the Lord Jesus, before he ascended back into glory, spoke to Peter concerning things to come which would affect Peter. And then Peter looked at John. He took his eyes away from Jesus and he looked at John. And Lord, what shall this man do? What about him? What is that to thee? I think we need to be reminded that too often perhaps we're looking around, we're looking at others. Others' pathways, others' callings, others in what the Lord chooses, appoints for them. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the king shall appoint. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock on next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1029. Come, Saviour, quickly come. Let me but feel thee near. I'm a poor wanderer far from home, pursued by guilt and fear. Hymn 1029.
The grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.